3, 2, 1. It's that time of the day. Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning student podcast covering all things Golden Eagles.
Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. I am your host, Dee Mimixon, joined by the GOAT, Charlie Luttrell. On my right, in front of me, is Nathan Lee.
I'm not the GOAT.
He is not the GOAT, unfortunately. Yeah, he is the Nate Dogg. We are in his Nate Dogg studio here.
Yeah, the pound
perspective. Like, yes. Plug your show for us.
Yeah, the pound perspective. Check it out. It's a podcast.
Yeah, go check it out. But don't check it out more than 4th Street. Yes. No, I'm kidding. And then Jackson Howell's on my left. How we doing, Jackson?
I'm good. I have one podcast. It is 4th Street Sports Show. Thanks for listening.
We don't double dip like Nathan.
Oh, sorry.
Nah.
Double dipper over here.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. This is Thursday. Good day today. We got a lot of baseball coverage out to y'all today. We were out at base, me, Nathan, and Jackson, and Austin, who's not here. We're out at Baseball Media Day getting you some coverage. We'll have a lot more with that on Monday. So we're kind of on Monday for our show on WSM 88.5. We'll have a lot more info on that. But we can go through it just a second here. We had Scott Berry. He talked for half an hour. We got him for a whole while. Really long interview. You know, Charlie weren't there, so may not have a lot to comment here. But then, Nathan, you talked to Matthew Adams, and Jackson, you talked to Danny Lynch, and I talked to Matthew Etzel and Justin Storm. I guess the main takeaway for me was that it was certain that Matthew Etzel is going to be taking the center field spot. Mm-hmm. And then he said that left field was you know, they don't know who's going to be in left field. They have 3 weeks to kind of figure that out. He said that their starting rotation, obviously you have Tanner Hall. He mentioned Nico Mazza and Matthew Adams, like we all expected. I thought it was interesting that he didn't mention Justin Storm there, because you'd think that he would potentially be a starter guy. But he hasn't really been a starter, you know, in his whole career, and he's more of a reliever. But he did mention Dustin Dickerson would be pitching for them on the back end. They're going to bring Creek Robertson up on shortstop when that happens. Overall takeaways from it, we're not going to spend much time on it because we want to get into our questions. And we'll have a lot more about it on Monday. But overall takeaways.
It was just, you could tell they're anxious and energized for this season. You could tell when I was talking to Matthew, you know, you could just see it in his eyes. You know, they're just ready to get between the lines, it feels like. You know, practice is practice, and they've loved it, seems like. But, you know, it doesn't feel like the season's here until you get that first pitch in. And I know for Matthew, it won't feel real until he gets that first pitch in for himself. So, overall, though, the energy's in the building. It really feels like a special kind of year around Hattiesburg. I mean, I don't want to take this from Dima, but during the Scott Berry, he said that he got message from Mississippi State and Ole Miss. You know, they're saying maybe this is the Southern Miss's year. So it felt like it in that media day today.
Yeah, there's definitely an aura of confidence surrounding this baseball team, and obviously that's the bare minimum that you want from your coach at media day. But it feels real, and it's highlighted by all the players. They think that they're a really good team, and honestly they should, based off of last year. Obviously a new pitching staff. They had, I believe, 6 or 7 guys drafted by major leagues, and then lost one more to graduation, so that's definitely going to be new. But they hit the transfer portal pretty hard. Matthew Etzel probably highlights that, along with Tate Parker in left field and some other guys. But yeah, they're definitely confident. You can definitely feel like this is an important team, one to look out for. I know Scott Berry talked about season tickets being huge. I know the fans are going to be there all year long, and they hope to perform for them. So we're really going to see that first couple weekends, really, who's going to really be the pitchers. And I agreed with what you said, Dima. Them not mentioning Justin Storm was kind of interesting. I know he obviously has the momentum from the LSU regional game. Definitely a guy that really without him they wouldn't have won. But
yeah.
Matthew Adams, I think we all expected to be in the mix. And they really like Nico Mazza.
We heard that name like 5 or 6 times.
Definitely. I know when we talked to Andrew Abadi back in may have been November, he was high on him based on the Fall World Series. So he's definitely a guy to look out for. Inexperienced, but supposedly has really good stuff. And Justin Storm, he'll always be there. So Southern Miss should be in line for another successful baseball season in the 2023 campaign.
Yeah, and I would push back just a little bit because they kind of did this last year. I don't think their first weekend's starters are going to be their normal guys. Last season, Tanner Hall did not pitch on Friday until the middle of March because they pitched him through all the non-conference games. And to start out with Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and then I can't remember who the other team is, but they have Mississippi State and Ole Miss within the first 2 weeks. And I think Tanner Hall is going to get those starts up in Pearl and up in Oxford. So I don't know if necessarily we'll have an answer on the weekend rotation until conference season really starts. But regardless, I think, like I said, everything y'all said is right. A lot of energy, a lot of focus. We'll talk more on our big baseball preview pod, which will be coming soon. You know, and I think it's a question to ask. Do you think that the confidence – you hope that they kind of look past the confidence and focus on still winning because you don't want them to get, you know, too over their heads, you know? So, but all that being said, that's kind of what we did. We did baseball media day, but we will go right into rapid fire podcast questions. So we spend about 5 to 10 minutes on questions each in this segment. We started doing this. Me and Charlie did it about a week or so ago. We're going to try to do this every week. Since we're kind of filling in for the Prince Pick'em, which just a second we'll have our winner. But Prince Pick'em, we did that last semester, so we're trying to fill it in. We still want to try to have 2 podcasts a week because we think that's good content. So we'll do rapid fire, but first, are y'all ready to hear the Prince Pick'em winners?
Yes. Let's do it.
Okay. I'll start from the back. Jackson, you're going to have to like turn away so you can't see. Here's Josh, you're going to be able to see. Okay. All right. So... in fifth place, oh, I can guess I can do this. Okay, in fifth place, Austin with 217 points. So
he's too embarrassed to even show up.
Coward.
I can't remember what was the cap. What was our like? Who win? Whoever wins, what happened to?
I don't know if we.
I don't know. We need a.
We had to all like say something. I don't know, I think.
Thing
all right, in fourth place, it is Mr. Luttrell.
Fourth
place.
How did I fall?
Yeah. Hey, Nathan had an incredible
last. I'm over here sweating. Come on.
258 points for Mr. Luttrell.
That was a gap.
40-point gap between last place. So, Jackson, you are in third place with 262 points, edging out Charlie by four.
Thank you, Horned Frogs.
Which I think it was the Horned Frogs pick because we gave extra pit points for picking playoff games. And Nathan, you're in second place.
I knew I couldn't pull it off, dang it.
But you got 267 points.
Okay.
And then I had 270 for the win.
3 points. Oh, jeez. Yeah,
Nathan had an incredible incredible last week. He knocked a 38.
Jeez.
Crazy.
God.
So
I tried,
that knocked Charlie all the way down to fourth.
So all that smack talk didn't work out for me.
Bowl games were not it.
This all could have been changed if you wouldn't have picked LSU to beat Georgia.
You're right.
Oof.
Anyways, so thanks so much. I forgot to do that in our past few podcasts. So that was our Prince Pick'em final standings. We'll tweet them out and everything. But let's jump into rapid fire. Gentlemen, are we ready?
Yes.
Let's see what the 10 good questions people from our listeners, and I will mention you who asked these questions. So thank you so much for these questions. It really helps us a lot. We love to engage with our listeners. So this is from Cloverleaf Mall at Cloverleaf Mall on Twitter. Who will get an NCAA tourney bid first? Men's basketball, women's basketball, softball, or volleyball?
Good question.
It's a really good question.
Yeah, that's hypothetical, of course, but I think the most straightforward answer right now would be men's basketball. Mm-hmm. Just because it would be very hard, especially watching the Marshall game. But, you know, if they are able to win the conference, which is very, you know, in question right now, and I would say out of all of those teams, the most reasonable answer, all they would have to do is win that, and then they're, you know, automatic bid. Also, we just learned that beach volleyball, whoever wins their conference, is automatic bid to the national championship tournament. So, I mean, I think it's men's basketball right now, though.
I think basketball, men's basketball, is probably the smart pick here. But I think, like, volleyball, it's a nice little curveball. I don't think that's too far-fetched to believe that they have a volleyball team. They've played good over the last couple of years, you know. And me being the softball guy, you know, with a new coach, I know the basketball team's a lot farther ahead as a program. But, you know, softball, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they could turn it around real quick. But for me, I'm probably going to pick men's basketball.
Yeah, looking at men's basketball this year, it's really predicated on the Sun Belt tournament. I believe it's in Pensacola, which the only teams that are closer to Pensacola are Troy in South Alabama. I don't know if Troy's closer. I'm assuming it is. But Southern Miss is better in those teams, so that could be almost a, you know, sort of a home court advantage. So if they can pull that off, that's an automatic bid. And there you go. There's your bid to the championship. But I don't know. If none of the teams make it this year, I think I might give a slight edge to women's basketball. Mm-hmm. They're one of the more consistent programs Southern Miss has. And men's basketball is going to look a lot different next year. I know they had a lot of transfers come in this year. Felipe is going to be gone, to name one. But women's basketball, if not this year, but if this year, I think men's basketball gets it done.
Well, I mean, let's just say right now, do you think they're going to win the tournament?
If
you had to bet it right now.
Right now?
No. Just based off of the Marshall game.
Yeah.
I would lean no.
Okay,
I
think so if we're all saying no for men's basketball this season, y'all just said that they have the best shot. So if you're all saying right now that they're not going to win it, then you'd have to think that, okay, for next season, right, do y'all think the women's basketball is going to win the Sun Belt Championship?
I would say this about men. I'm like, the sampling pool, like, everybody knows right now Marshall is top of the Sun Belt, and Southern Miss got blown out. I'm not saying that, you know, if they match up again, that would be the result, but that's what we've been given. You know, right now, like, off the last two games we watched, I would say, yeah, they're the best shot. And it could be this year.
Yeah,
that's probably the best way to put it. Maybe it's not this year, but I don't know if any of these teams are going to be making a push to a tourney bid, you know, this season. You know, there's a lot of rebuilding at Southern Miss, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we're seeing this with men's. You love to see the rebuild. Women's is, like you said, super consistent. There's some things with injuries they fought with early in the season. They're starting to get their footing back. So, obviously, if it's not this year, next year would be in question for men's basketball, like Jackson said, with all the possible changes. But, you know, it feels like it's between Marshall and Southern Miss right now with basketball for the Sun Belt, just like Charlie said. So, I'm going to still lean on basketball, men's basketball.
Yeah, for me, like, it's like, okay, so the last time Southern Miss went to the tournament, right, 2012. So, that's 11 years ago, right? So, if it's 11 years ago, and if, you know, this is probably their best shot to do it in 11 years, besides, you know, the NIT in 15 or whatever, whenever the wins were vindicated, you know, like, this is probably their best shot, but we all just said they're probably not.
Yeah.
So I think next season when we look at it, like, do you think the men's or the women's or the volleyball or softball? And I feel like you could make a interesting case for volleyball.
Yeah.
Getting there, you know, after their good season, they finished on this season almost doing well in whatever tournament they were in.
NIBC.
Yeah. Like, I think you can make an interesting case for all four of these teams, but I'm not sure I'm really just willing just to say, yeah, men's basketball for sure. Definitely this season, you know, they have a great, strong team and all that good stuff, but I think, you know, unless we're all picking them to win the Sun Belt, like, do you think they're going to get into that large bid? Like, I feel like that's going to be really...
Historically, that just hasn't happened.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen.
And, I mean, they look... I will say that Crowley and Felipe both got hurt right in the beginning of that Marshall game, and they weren't really a factor for most of that game.
That's true.
So I feel like
a rematch
on a neutral court is going to be a closer game.
Yeah, and I'll say JMU. JMU is one of the top teams. I think today I saw top five in bench points scored. Yeah. You know, when we were watching them, it was like Southern Miss was kind of just handling them throughout the game. Mm-hmm. That proves that they're, you know, at the top of the Sun Belt. So it's not out of question.
You would hope this isn't the case. Sorry, Charlie, but it really feels like this year's all or nothing for Southern Miss men's basketball. They have a lot of older guys that aren't going to be there next year. And it's really just an unknown. Jay Ladner is going to have to recruit his tail off next year, quite frankly, to get guys to replace these veteran guys, because he credits the winning culture to the veteran culture. And once they're gone, what's going to happen? That's why I believe volleyball is a great point, actually, but I would lean women since they're historically most consistent.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. So, what's your answer?
I'm sticking with men's best shot.
Men's basketball.
I'm going to go women's.
I'm going to go volleyball.
Mm.
Okay, I like that.
Different answers.
There we go. So there's your question and answer, Cloverleaf Mall. Thanks for asking it. Let's go to number two. That was at 5 minutes and 50 seconds. So I think we're doing good. Okay.
No, not bad.
All right. Number two from Drew on Twitter. Will the Superback continue this fall? And will it continue after Frank Gore Jr.'s collegiate career ends? I can start this one because I think no, because they really don't like to run it. Like, if they could have a quarterback this season, you would not have seen the Superback being run. The only reason you saw the Superback being run is because Ty Keyes got hurt in the first game against Liberty. So they pulled him out. Trelo threw an interception. And then, like, they're not going to put in Zach Wilkie in the beginning. Like, that's just, I mean, you know, so they put in Frank Gore and they just knew what he could do. And then towards the end, I mean, their whole offense was just Frank Gore Jr., so why not have him run the ball? But I think the last caveat to this question, it makes it interesting. Like, what, like, can someone else run a Superback offense the way Frank Gore Jr. has?
I'm going to say, yeah, just because I know Will Hall has liked to run it at other places. I mean, the term was coined back when he was a coach in Alabama, like, I think 2004. I was reading up on that. And he's running with other athletes. So I think Frank Gore has kind of, you know, been the, I guess, poster boy of the Superback offense here at Southern Miss. But, you know, there's been other guys that are coming up in it, like Chandler Pittman and Antavius Willis. I think there's guys that he's recruited that he has that in mind. But, yeah, I don't think they necessarily want to keep featuring it as much as they do. But I think it's still going to be in the playbook somewhere this season. You know, they want to have that stability at quarterback and definitely not see what we saw against Liberty again. But, yeah, I think it's still going to stick around.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's like, I don't think it's going to die. I don't think that's part of the playbook's just going to just go away. I think you keep it. I mean, it's a good, you know, I like it, you know, every, you know, when you have a situation, third and one, it's a good call, you know, it's obvious what's going to happen, but you can't stop it most of the time. So I don't think they get rid of it. But like we've said, like Dima said, you don't want to use it. You don't want to use the Superback, but it's a nice feature to have in your offense, especially with a guy like Frank Gore. It's really effective with a guy like Frank Gore Jr. So while Frank Gore's here, you keep it. We'll see what happens. I doubt they get rid of it when Frank Gore goes. I think Will Hall keeps it because, you know, it's been a part of his playbook for a while.
Yeah, to answer the first question, yes, I believe it absolutely will still be in effect this fall. Frank Gore Jr., he's run it well. With the new quarterbacks coming in, and we'll get to this down the road potentially. A little spoiler for a future question. But you would hope that the better quarterback play would lead to them needing the Superback less. But I think it's still going to be a thing. Red zone offense and short yardage, Nathan, like you said, I think they really like running that, and they've had some success. It's going to be hard to see if a guy can operate the Superback offense quite like Frank Gore Jr., because here's the thing. When they bring their safeties in the box, the defense, he'll rear back and throw it down the field.
Right. He's not afraid.
He's not afraid to do it. He threw a touchdown against Rice. We know the long ball to Ty Mims against Louisiana. That's a couple examples. Frank Gore will do that. And, you know, for a running back with an arm, that's a little rare. And they'll probably look to recruit some guys to kind of fill that role. I know we're all, like, relatively Saints fans here. I know that the Saints drafted Tommy Stevens out of Mississippi State because they thought he could fill the Taysom Hill role. I could see Will Hall trying something like that through recruiting. I know that's kind of an oddball example, but
I love how Charlie just...
Yeah, he was not good, by the way.
They tried to make him a tight end. It just never worked
out. It just didn't work. But like kind of like the Taysom Hill package in New Orleans, there's always going to be a place for it. And if Will Hall can continue to recruit athletes, I think the Superback will stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair argument. I think the strongest point here is that how many running backs are going to be able to throw the ball like Frank Gore Jr.?
Yeah.
Right, because when he would throw that deep ball, especially, I mean, I'm thinking of Ty Mims. I mean, just right on the money.
It was perfect.
I mean, I'm not picking Jannari Dean to throw that ball 30 yards down the field right on the money. So, but, you know, that can be coached, all that stuff. Yeah. So, anyways, but, so you're saying yes for the fall and yes to continue?
Yes.
Yes in the fall. I don't know if it'll continue without Frank. I don't know.
C.
Yeah. I'm going Yes, this fall. No, after Frank Gore Jr.
Mm.
So, yeah. Cool. Thank you for the question, Drew. Let's move on to... We had that right under 5 minutes. So, good job, team. We're doing good.
Yeah, we're doing so good.
All right. So, this question's from KWW. That is the tag at KWWWW15. He says, or she, who would y'all say is favored to start at quarterback in the fall? What a question. I'm sure we'll be coming back to this several times.
Yeah, I was just asking this earlier, and I don't know. We're going to see in spring. I think that's, you know, we will get a gauge. We got a gauge of that last spring in spring practice, and the clear answer was Ty Keyes. I think there's going to be, you know, a clear front runner after spring practice, but I'm not going to really speculate here, but I obviously have to think that the new guys are going to be right up there with Zach Wilkie, who has that experience. I think that gives him kind of, I guess, a lead before spring camp, but obviously the expectation is that these new guys coming in will be able to contribute this season.
Yeah, it's good point about Wilkie. You know, he's going to be coming in, and that pressure is going to be good for him no matter what. Even if he's not the starter, you know, that's a good thing for Zach Wilkie. It's all up in the air. Things are still settling. It feels like everything's settled transfer-wise and everything, you know. So you know what's in the room, but you haven't seen the room, you know. And for us, it's a lot about seeing it. I don't know for y'all, but for me, I got to see it with my own eyes, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, in fall camp, when I was watching all the quarterbacks, I thought Trey Lowe had the best arm, and he didn't end up playing to the end of the year. So, you know, for me, I like to see it before I say anything. Obviously, these kids that are coming in have a lot of talent and a lot of praise coming in behind them from coaches and other players. I know a lot of the Clemson players were back in the recruit from there and talked about how this is his opportunity to shine, you know. And some of them Houston players were talking about him too. Their transfer, so it's all up in the air for me. I don't want to pick one, but you're probably going to have to lean Wilkie because he's been in the room. Does that mean he's going to get the job? I don't think so. So we'll see.
Yeah, from the outside looking in, you would think Zach Wilkie, kind of the incumbent, has a slight edge there. But, yeah, like y'all said, it's really going to depend on spring ball. And, Charlie, I kind of disagree with Wilkie being compared to Ty Keyes, because I think it was clear that Will Hall really liked Ty Keyes and really wanted him to have that job. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. I think it's going to be a open competition. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to name a starter till. They might wait until summer or fall, honestly.
Well, Hall, he's got to get this decision right.
Definitely. He's going to take his time. He's going to marinate with it. But, I mean, look at the three worthy parties, right? You've got Zach Wilkie. He had some flashes last year, and he's already been with the program. Mm-hmm. Billy Wiles from Clemson. If Clemson wanted him, you'd think he must be pretty talented. A three-star recruit, I believe. He probably has the most upside. And then you've got Holman Edwards. Will Hall spoke highly of him. You can read this one or two ways, but I'm going to paraphrase what he said here. He said that he would have been the starter this year at Houston, but he wanted to come back home. Mm-hmm. Now, is he being truthful, or is he maybe hyping him up a little bit? You know, that remains to be seen, but three worthy prospects there. If I had to give a slight lean, I think I'd go Billy Wiles, yeah. Honestly. I think he's probably the most talented, and Will Hall had connections with him before. I believe he offered him at Tulane. Yep. So it's not like he's foreign to him. So yep. I'm going to go with Wiles.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, like y'all said, I mean, it's really hard for us to gauge this question, yeah. Right? Because we haven't seen anybody throw except for Zach Wilkie, mm-hmm. Right? Like, we're not, like, following these quarterbacks around, yeah. You know? Like,
watching their huddle highlights.
Yeah, like, and two of these new guys didn't get any action mm-hmm. in their previous schools. So I think that that's important, but I mean, I like y'all. I think that Wilkie, I mean, you'd think that he would have at least some kind of edge, you know, just because he's been in the system. But I really think, you know, they're going to get out in spring practice and it's all going to be, so everybody's starting at zero, mm-hmm. You know, everybody's starting at the same point and the job is just up in the air, and who's going to win it? I don't know. We're not going to predict that now because we haven't seen anything. But, I mean, if we're going to have to say who's favored to win, I feel like you got to go with just Wilkie because we don't know anything about the other quarterbacks. And I'm saying that not as in what I think that's who I would be favored. But if we're looking at this more in an analytical sense, you know, there's no way we can really know how the other quarterbacks are going to be. You know, we can think of talent, we can think of this, but That's just kind of a hard question for us to gauge at this point. Ask us again in the April, though.
So. Yeah. Like, if Miles Brennan had come last year, it would have been... Everybody would have known, you know, Miles Brennan was starting.
Or Luke Altmyer.
And, like you said, these guys really haven't had that playing experience, so it's kind of expectation that all three of these guys, and maybe even, you know, a fourth runner might be... It's just going to be open.
Yeah, it's going to be wide open. So, you're saying nobody, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm basically saying I'm not going to say
anything. I'm leaning Wilkie, but Billy's an interesting guy.
Yeah, I'm leaning Wile E. Coyote.
I'm leaning Wilkie in just the analytical sense that he's the only one who I know that at least can throw the football. So I know the other kids can throw a football too, but at least I know he can do it in a game. So
I can throw a football. Not very well, but I can throw a
football.
That's true.
Flames.
So thank you, KWW, for the question. Appreciate it. All right, moving on to number four from Travis Sy. Who will Southern Miss play first in 2023 on the football schedule?
Now the second game, the game that they've announced on, like, the first game that they've announced, it's the second game. Confusing. Mm-hmm. They haven't announced the first game, so I don't know. But it's Florida State. Yeah, they're traveling to Florida State September 9th. Mm-hmm. Which is Saturday, so I would expect that it would be somebody at home first week, probably. In years past, they've done HBCUs home.
I think it's going to be Alcorn State.
It's heavily rumored to be Alcorn State.
Alcorn State. So I think, when you look at the schedule for next season, right, I don't think it's up here, but when you look at the schedule for next season, you're going to have, I think, a really interesting non-conference slate, just because, you know, you're going to have that Florida State game, that Tulane game sandwiched in between at Florida State, and then I guess the 24th would be your opener. How many, I guess they're getting, because they have three non-conference games scheduled right now, mm-hmm. and the Mississippi State game is right before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So the slot that would be the normal fourth non-conference game, where in this case for this year would be Tulane, which was the end of September, that's going to be a Sun Belt game, right?
Could be a bye.
Or could be a bye.
They could, yeah.
So they're going to start with, I think, their cakewalk game, which would be Alcorn State, Southern, Jackson State. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be so cool. But what's heavily rumored, like you said, Jackson to beat Alcorn State, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely going to be some good bands in the ROG, no matter who it is. Even though it is heavily rumored to be Alcorn State, and we've talked to sources, and firmly they're releasing it when they release it. I believe that the higher ups of Southern Miss won't know until it's released. So maybe even a day prior, they won't know for sure, concrete. So. It's been heavily implied that it's Alcorn State, but again, we won't know till I think March.
Yeah, when you look at the schedule, man, one thing I do like about this schedule is that every single game you can drive to, there's not a game over 6 hours outside of Appalachian State.
You driving to Boone, Dima?
I don't know about that.
Take the F-150 out to Boone.
Yeah. I'll be going to Florida State.
What, Miami was drivable?
Yeah. Well, we drove a Chevy.
Yeah, y'all did that.
Oh, my goodness.
Demon would break down.
I'm sorry. I was partying in Vegas while y'all were doing
that. Oh, yeah.
All right. So we say we think it's Alcorn State, but we don't expect any. They're not going to, like, schedule, you know.
Alabama.
North Carolina State on there or something.
They got Alabama coming
around. The Tide.
Alabama to Hattiesburg.
The Tide at home.
Yeah. Who would be the craziest team that could schedule to come to Hattiesburg?
Alabama.
Definitely Alabama.
Or maybe like
Hawaii.
Like
reasonable.
Like reasonable?
Reasonable.
Probably an Ole Miss or State, probably.
Yeah. I don't think Ole Miss is reasonable at all. I don't know. No.
Yeah.
I mean, Washington State.
Far away. I could see, like, it'd be cool to have, like, Tennessee.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of like not SEC.
Tennessee's kind of on the upward trend.
Like a Big 12 team, maybe.
I do think it's possible.
Team like Maryland,
like a Maryland, like a just like a lower ranked Big 12, Big 10 team, maybe
like
a Nebraska,
like a Texas, Texas Tech, maybe out of the Big 12.
They need to schedule one.
Just throw out every college that exists.
Every college that's not Alabama,
Arizona, Akron.
I think the most realistic thing was they could dip into CUSA. If they needed, like,
Louisiana Tech at the wrong
Louisiana Tech, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Yeah.
They're coming in 2025 or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, so yeah, we really don't know. So sorry, we didn't really answer that. All right, let's move to number five. This is from Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for asking a question. What would you say is the number one explanation for the Southern Miss basketball turnaround? Mm. I think Charlie should start this one.
All righty. I think just obviously the emergence of Juan Cardona and all the players he brought along with him. And that's not to, you know, discredit Ladd or anything, but they also have Nick Williams, who brought along with him Austin Crowley, or kind of cemented his decision. So it's just, I think, all the pieces coming together, and then having Cardona as that kind of defensive guy. The team is obviously, or is right now, the number one defense in the Sun Belt. So you can see his impact and those players' impact right away. And like Jackson was saying earlier, the kind of senior or veteran leadership, lots of these guys are huge deals from where they're from. I mean, Neftali's a huge prospect, Felipe's a prospect, guys that have pro potential. So, I mean, just comparing that from last year, where I was talking to Andrew, we said once Tay Hardy went down on that team, it was like, it was it. Mm-hmm. He was the glue. And obviously we hope everybody stays healthy this year. But if you look at the glue of this roster, it's a bunch of guys. Everybody's been able to kind of contribute to this team. And it's just really good to see that depth. So, and that was a long answer, but short answer is just, I think all the pieces coming together of coaches and transfer portal, because they were completely dismantled from last year, and the way they rebuilt was really like legendary, honestly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you're spot on. It's the belief in the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, obviously Juan Cardona, huge.
It feels like they have a culture now too.
Right. You know? Like,
people, La Familia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. La Familia. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like people love this team. Mm-hmm. And just like Charlie was saying, you know, last year when Tay went down, you know, The whole season, it was like, oh, well, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and then this season, like, they had Neftali go down in November, right? And, like, he's a crucial part to the off, like, the defense and the – they were comparing him to the Pelicans guy. What's the Pelicans guy's name?
Jose?
Jose, mm-hmm. Jose Alvarez. Yeah. So they were comparing him to that, and, like, he went down, and Southern Miss kept winning, you know? Like, so – I think it's the belief in the coaching staff. It's the belief in change. It's the belief in culture. And they have more than one player who can take over a game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's huge. And one of the bigger things to me is, like, their ball movement and team chemistry. Ugh. That is one of the most important things in basketball. And
college basketball, and specifically. College basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, y'all all know, I played basketball for 8 years.
Oh, yeah. And you did?
That is, to me, the single most... Wait, did you go to Hawaii?
Yeah, I did. Oh, nice. I did.
Calm down, LeBron.
Take my talents. Anyways, it is one of the most important things in basketball is for team mm-hmm. chemistry. And the team chemistry they display every single night, the ball movement, the wanting other players to score, is something that I've honestly not seen before on a Southern Miss team in a long time.
It's a really fun team.
It is. My thing is, like, it's that emergence of the star talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, you can say coach and staff, we all believe that Juan brought that mentality, a different juice to the entire, not just this team, the entire organization of basketball at Southern Miss. So you bring in that talent, all it does is just, it gives you an opportunity to play that way, you know? When you only have one guy or two guys, now they have four guys that can put up 20, you know? With five guys that can put up 20. You know, they have a coach that understands the game in and out, you know? It's just those little things for me, you know, when you can bring a talent like a Felipe Hase, an Austin Crowley, you know, these transfers that, you know, they were getting opportunities, but they can come here and be a star,
yeah.
You know? That's not something Southern Miss has had. They haven't had a star. And they've got multiple guys that can be stars on this team. So it's the emergence of talent for me and just a sense of culture and understanding the goal. Like, they know what they want to do. They didn't come into the season saying, we're going to try and win as many games as possible. They came into this season feeling like they could win the Sun Belt. And that's what they're doing right now. So that's how I feel about it this season.
Yeah,
They believed when
I'm not doing that. I'm
about to hold hands.
Jackson just reached out for my hand, guys. I'm getting
one shake your hand. One shake your hand.
But no, they believed when the fans didn't, and they when they believed, they changed their life to that belief.
Mm.
Like they the things they were saying when we went there for media day. And back in October, September, whenever it was, I looked at Charlie and Jackson. I was like, there's something different. Like, it's just, they just are different in some way. And I can't put my mind on it. And it's because they believed when other people didn't. And when they believed, they changed their life to that belief.
Cap. Anyway, yeah, y'all guys really kind of said it like eloquently. There's not much I can really add here.
Eloquently.
You got to have dogs in basketball. Dogs. We know that.
Where's Mamba?
And Southern Miss Mamba's has dogs right now. And they brought in coaches with connections. Obviously, Nick Williams, Austin Crowley, Juan Cardona. A lot of these guys, Felipe Jase and Neftali Alvarez, to name a couple. Jay Ladner said it as much preseason. He said, without Juan, those guys wouldn't be here. Yeah. And after they're gone, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a question for later down the road. But the short answer is they got dogs right now, and they're all coming together, like Nathan said. Four or more guys, and they have depth. I think that's really been the turnaround for Southern Miss men's basketball.
You know, one thing that's going to make me really mad is, or at least it will make me mad, I just want the fans to know that, like, this team has been nothing short of amazing. Mm. And no matter what happens from this point until the middle of March when everything's said and done, like, you know, anything I see on Twitter or something that's like, harsh against the team. They should have done this. They should have done that. That is completely undermining the turnaround. Mm. There's no way any Southern Miss fan believe that there's going to probably be 5,000 people in the arena tonight. Like, absolutely not.
And respect. Respect to Southern Miss fans and know that it didn't start this season hot when it comes to fans going to the games.
And I'm not
going to
say I did.
Yeah, I mean, like,
none of us. We were all none of laughing us. In here when it, we did the basketball preview.
And it's awesome to see Southern Miss fans realizing, though. It's really awesome to see the entire community kind of support this team. That's what you want to see from these local, this like a local city like a Hattiesburg that has a university like a university like Southern Miss. You want to see the community support this team because that's – at the end of the day, they're doing it for their careers, but they're also doing it for our entertainment, you know? Mm-hmm. They're doing it for the people of Hattiesburg. They're doing it for this university. Mm-hmm. They're doing it for something bigger than themselves. So that's why the fans need to come out, and that's why it's awesome to see 5,000 people going out to games now.
Definitely. We were talking in my sales class, and, you know, I was thinking last year they couldn't keep students in their seats past halftime, even when they're given free cover. Now students are coming to the game just to come to the game.
Yeah.
I mean – yeah,
they fall in love with the La Familia.
Yeah, we don't even have to get. They don't have to give away anything anymore. You know.
Just well, they still are giving pizza and chicken tenders, but they're staying past halftime. Yes. They're actually enjoying
just
the game.
The pizza and rolling out. Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah.
So that if that tells anything, that's the story right there.
Definitely. All right, so I don't really know what any of our questions answers was, but we just said the number one explanation for Thurman's turnaround. Amazing. So. Yeah. all right, so let's move on to a question from Jordan Hall on Twitter. Will the students turn out for the basketball game this week?
Well, there you go.
We kind of foreshadowed that.
Just kind of foreshadowed that.
So, can we just say it?
They have chicken.
Yes.
And respect. Thank you for showing up.
Yeah. We were expecting a lot of students in the arena tonight. So we'll move on. All right, from Caleb Powell on Twitter, and I think this is going to be very fun. If there was a death battle between all Sunbelt mascots, would the Golden Eagles be on top?
Mm.
I think this is open discussion, so we can interrupt, we can fight, but I do have to elect someone to go first. So,
if this question was asked in 2021, I would say Seymour, but it is now 2023. And the good Seymour point. Has been upgraded, or what I like to say, demoted, because he's not the Seymour that I loved, and he's not the Seymour that lots of other fans loved. I know some people still like the current Seymour, but I think he kind of looks like a great value Eagle. Like, yeah, I think like he used to look so fierce, you know?
Yeah.
But I get it kind of going cartoonish. I think the kids probably like it more because I saw a lot of kids get scared out by the old Seymour. But, you know, I was looking at the Sun Belt mascots, and I saw the Troy one in person. That one was interesting. But I'm a fan of, like, animal mascots. The Thundering Herds mascot, pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But I've got to go with Coastal Carolinas. Mm. Like, just a straight-up teal bird on a teal field. Like, I don't know. It's just something about it. The Chanticleers or... Is it? I don't know. I just thought. What's their mascot's name? Can you pull it up?
Chanticleer.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's a chicken. You think a chicken's gonna win a death battle?
I don't know, man. Hey, I just
fighting chickens now.
If Rocky Balboa can catch a chicken, I think, you know, is Rocky Balboa catching a bison, which is apparently is what Marshall has? Is he catching a golden eagle?
Or, you know,
whatever pelican?
I said 2021, the fierce Seymour would win against, I think, any of them, but...
You're right. Nugget is rolling in his grave on the new Seymour.
Yeah,
Nugget's mad.
He really is.
Yeah.
Rip Nugget.
Add Nugget 2 on Twitter.
But yeah.
I'm going Yosef from App State all day.
What's a Mountaineer?
Yeah.
He's okay.
It's a Mountaineer, man. Come on. You don't think...
I like animal mascots.
That's a man right there. You see the beard on that guy? Any guy with a beard like that, I trust him to beat ass. I'm so sorry. Yosef all day. Yosef all day.
Hey, I mean, look.
I don't know, man.
I believe that Seymour would be to the top, no pun intended, but yes, pun intended, of the tier list of the mascots in a death battle, but... Man, look, I know he's a snaggletooth-looking freak, but I'm going to go with T-Roy. I mean, he has an army behind him. He has a sick sword. I mean, he can slice up a bison. He can slice
use his
a chicken.
Bow and arrow. Mm. Do you think the Troy could catch the chicken?
Yeah, he just has to land one. Too. He can start swinging wildly. You only have to get one swing, and that chicken's donezo. I mean, I tell you, the Mountaineer, that's a formidable opponent. I feel like Mike Leach right now, rest in peace. He did that with the Pac-12. I feel like that chicken, he's gone. Jaguar, that's pretty underrated.
I actually really do like South Alabama's, but I thought, you know.
I think Georgia Southern might have the worst. Looks like it should be yelling, my.
Bruce Keys
is giving free covers for our students tonight.
Oh, well, there you go. That'll be.
So, wait, it still takes free cover to get the students come?
I guess. Well,
so, I will
back
say,
to the question we just answered. Yeah.
South Alabama's mascot, when they were here, there's a second mascot. It has like a girlfriend or something.
Oh.
So, you know, what does that do to this?
Dynamic duo?
What does that do to this?
Going from a chicken to a girl.
No. I'm saying.
Is that a duo?
You got to take two. Yeah, you got to take two. So that's you know, two Jaguars versus an eagle.
Ooh, that's
all I can
tough.
Say is y'all have not said mine yet, and I think y'all are nuts.
I'll say JSU's is terrible. Or JMU, my bad.
JMU,
terrible. He would try to debate his way out of it.
Real quick, I will rebut that. Sorry to cut you off, but on the JMU point,
sorry,
JMU
trash.
And ODU, they're royalty. They probably have royal guards and royal armies. The dukes and the monarchs. They're both wearing a crown device on their
can
head.
Imagine
don't
just
underrate
being like
them.
I'm taking Old Dominion over them all day.
An entire like form of government monarchy. That's
I'm
just
telling
their
mascot. You. They're going to kill him with democracy. Well, not.
Monarchy.
Monarchy.
Are like bears, aren't they? Anyways. I feel like it's Louisiana's. The Raging Cajuns. Like, you put some angry Cajun out for revenge or death. I mean, that seems to me, like, pretty scary. Like, can you imagine, like, Ed Orgeron just, like, mad? Like, I think you could pretty much kill a chicken. Like, I don't know.
That man's a tiger through and through.
through and through.
So, none of us said Seymour?
Yeah. I think,
or did Jackson
say Seymour? Wouldn't make it. I don't know.
Old Seymour would work kind of like a scarecrow. He'd scare them all away. But new Seymour?
It's for the kids, yeah. He's not getting that far, I don't think.
He turned into Barney too quick.
Sorry.
He is the superior eagle. Sorry, Georgia Southern.
Yeah, he is.
He is
over
the superior
that.
Eagle.
Okay, so what's your answer, Charlie?
Man, I might have to switch to the Jaguars. Two Jaguars over, you know.
I'm kind of at that point.
I can definitely see them jumping in there and killing an eagle.
I was about to say the duo is hard not to pass up on. I think I'm going to go with the duo Jags.
I'm going T-Roy. If there was a horse mascot, he would be susceptible to that. But T-Roy, give me that.
Horse
Trojan horse, man. Mm-hmm. Learn your history.
Yeah. I'm going Raging Cajuns. So. There you go, Caleb.
I've never even seen theirs.
I don't think they have them out. It's just a bunch of random fans.
Wait, look it up. Look
it's
just
a bunch of Rage and Cajun.
Because, you know, I don't remember seeing that at the game. Just for some reason, I thought one used to be like a chili pepper.
I think you're right.
Is it the chili pepper? You're saying a chili pepper would win against... Oh, my gosh, Demon.
His name is Cayenne.
I think Seymour would eat that, man.
Hey, if they fight...
All right, I'm changing my pick.
Hey, look, if you fight that chili pepper under the bridge, look out.
Oh, there you go.
He dreams of Californication.
All right. That's it. That's it.
What a conversation.
I'm changing my pick. Okay. Wait, I got to change it. Troy, I'm going Troy. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Troy's. I don't know. He wasn't that intimidating when I saw him.
Achilles!
I'll go the Monarchs. I think, like, government's important. Okay.
You're going to have to find them in the middle of Alabama to even get in a fight, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's their Trojan.
We're not talking about the hour drive back from Troy to the hotel. I was listening.
You almost killed us, man.
All right, let's go. Move on. So this is a question from Jace Chandler Golaby. Hope I said their name last name correctly. If I did not, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
what does Southern Miss baseball have to do this year to break the super regional barrier and make it to Omaha? Go.
I'll start. You know, I guess. You know, obviously the big elephant in the room today in media day was, you know, pitching room, pitching staff. You know, they lost a lot of talent. You know, how do you counter that? Obviously bring in extra talent to the pitching room, but you also hit better. And I think that's where they got to find it in the offense of the team. I think if they want to take that next step, you got to be able to hit the ball. Because we know the pitching staff, it's going to be good, but it's not going to be last year's, very likely. Obviously they would love for it to be, but that's a tall task. So if you're asking me what could push this team over the edge, I'm going to say offense because they've got a lot of offense returning. So I'm going to lean on offense if they want to make it to Omaha.
Yeah, the short answer will be they have to win enough games. That's what pretty much everybody responded to you with, Dima. They have to win the Super to go to Omaha.
It's like, hey, I understand they have to win a Super Regional.
Like, if you score...
I want to go to, like...
They have to score more runs than their opponent in the super regional. But to give you an actual answer, I believe Scott Berry said last year they hit about 278. I think they'll have to hit closer to 300. He said teams don't really do that anymore. But if they can reach 290 or above, I think they're in good shape. And then you got to look at the pitching staff. Those inexperienced guys, those younger guys, they really have to produce. And then you need Tanner Hall to still be Tanner Hall, which everybody expects, but you really never know. You would hope he's at the same caliber, but you got to hunker down on the pitching. You got to make sure that all their ducks in a row, and I know they love Coach Oz down there. He's going to make some magic happen. So if their pitching can be competent and if they can hit closer to 290, sure, they'll be back in postseason ball. And they have their first four weekend series are at home. They have a really tough schedule, so that'll boost up the RPI. So if they can just win most of their game, they should be in a great spot to host.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with everything you just said. I think it comes down – I'm a little pushback on, like, it. Like pitching is, like, huge because a lot of teams get to Omaha without the best pitching, and sometimes they figure out pitching towards the end of the season. It's baseball. You know, you don't have everything figured out in the beginning. Ole Miss, they're three guys who they played against Southern Miss in the Super Regional. They were all on the bench. I mean, they were bullpen guys to play in the beginning of the season. You know, DeLucia and Elliott, both of those guys, you know, they were in the bullpen, and then they kind of got hot at the end. I think some people said this. I think it does matter, like, when Southern Miss goes on that run where they start to get hot, because it really felt like Southern Miss cooled off towards the end of the season, especially, like, losing the conference championship to UTSA and then, like, having, like, a weird game against Army. You know, then, like, their offense found life against in the Hattiesburg Regional, but you can argue that that was because the LSU just didn't have the pitching at all to compete with Southern Miss. So an important factor, obviously, is your bullpen, but I don't think Southern Miss fans expect Southern Miss's pitching to be anywhere near what it was last year, and I don't think that's a fair expectation. So I think if it's just, like Jackson said, if it's comparable, if it's fine, if it's, you know, a top 20 pitching staff, I think they're fine. And I do think their offense is going to be better. So it's going to be a lot of situational batting, situational hitting. But guys, you know, postseason baseball, that's so hard to predict out of now. Like, what do they have to do? They have to go and they have to hope they're on their hot streak or on their warm streak when they get to wherever they're playing regionals and super regional, which hopefully will be in Hattiesburg because that was really fun last year.
Yeah, I won't, you know, say exactly what y'all said because y'all said it best. But, I think that they had a you know great shot last year, and Ole Miss was the wrong team to catch.
Any other team, Ole Miss, they probably would have gone.
When I watched, like, at the end, I was like, I think Ole Miss has a serious shot at winning it, and, you know, they did. But 15-0 over the two games, you know, you had to have some production hitting, and I think that's what, you know, is the key to this year is improving that, because last couple years, pitching staff has been top of the country good. If you can at least, you know, hold, like y'all said, some respectable numbers, good numbers, then you can get by with, you know, great hitting. And they had some kind of flashes last year, but like y'all said, in postseason, they kind of started to go cold. So I think you're going to need guys that can consistently kind of step up for you. And they have lots of the guys coming back, too. Yeah, I think that's what's really promising.
Another baseball question here from Brig Johnson. It says, are we playing Mississippi State, Ole Miss, or LSU again for the regional? It's always one of those three. Which team out of those three do we stand the best chance of playing / beating? Obviously, that's kind of hard to predict now. But out of those three, I would say probably Mississippi State. Because LSU this year is going to be insanely good at baseball. That is like not crazy. A team Southern Miss wants to face in the regional or really anywhere. They would really like to get to Omaha without having to play them. Like, that is a loaded, crazy loaded team. Like, that's the most offense I've probably seen on a baseball team ridiculous in seasons. And then Ole Miss, you know, they're basically returning everybody except for Tim Elko and maybe a couple. And then, and who's the other guy they lost? Can't remember if it's Dunhurst or Gonzalez. I can't remember. But regardless, they returned most of that lineup who won the national title last year. So as far as – and we know Mississippi State's going to be good at baseball too. So that's just three prominent baseball programs. But out of those three, as of right now, I would say Mississippi State.
I'd probably say State too. I'm not too, you know, familiar with the talent pool or – I mean – Mississippi State, you know, their season last year was surprising to pretty much all of us. But what we were saying about LSU, you know, how they hit transfer portal and just how that, you know, that's kind of nature of today. I don't think Southern Miss would like to see them, but I don't know. I'm going to have to go State. I think we're going to get to see State. We're going to get to see
very early.
Yeah, so I guess we'll get our answer for sure then.
Yeah, I think it's a process of elimination in this one. Yeah. You know, it just comes down to State, even though State's a very respectful organization and team. LSU's number one coming into the season. Everyone knows that, and everyone knows what Ole Miss did last year. Like Dima said, bringing back a lot of talent. Mississippi State's the obvious choice. It's not going to be an easy game by any stretch. But if I were to pick one of those teams, it would, you know, play in the region, it would be State. And, you know, and I definitely think that's not an easy win, but that's definitely a possibility to win that one.
Yeah, I'm going to sound like a parrot to you, Nathan. just kind of going through it. LSU, if you play them, you're not going to be hosting. If you play Ole Miss, you know, it's a toss up. Ole Miss is ranked in the top 25, I do believe. And Mississippi. Yeah, Mississippi State is not. So Mississippi State, if you play them in the postseason, you have a better chance to host them. So you like their odds against them. But even that's going to be competitive because, you know, Mississippi State, they kind of had an embarrassing year last year. I think they finished towards the bottom of the SEC. Yeah. So people fully expect them to be back this year. And it's by process of elimination. You have the better chance to beat State on paper, but you're going to have a tough out with any of those three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, we're going to see all that. We're going to see Mississippi State early. We're going to see Ole Miss and Oxford, actually. And we're going to see Ole Miss again and Pearl again. So all three of those teams, we'll see Southern Miss play them. So, but caveat to that is, like, we are not saying that Mississippi State by any means is going to be an easy game.
Yes.
So just out of those three, I guess that would be the one who you would want to play because, golly, LSU is going to be
tough.
All right, so last question from Jordan. Favorite fast food chain and why?
Oh,
another fun one.
Nice little fun change up here to end that.
Last question.
I got to go with the old reliable. Just got me through lots of high school, got me through some college nights. Gotta go with Taco Bell, man. I mean, just versatility on the menu.
100%.
Cheap, you know, one of the only fast food restaurants that has a consistent dollar menu, and you can build your whole meal on there, along with the freezes and the sauce options. There's just nowhere else I'd pick.
That's got to be the greatest analysis of a fast food restaurant
also,
ever in my life.
Also, we know exactly which one Austin would pick.
And I'll tell you that Subway, I guess we can't like slander them, but I don't know, man. When Jackson and I went to Gainesville, I paid like, what was it? We paid like $15 for a 6-inch and like a drink.
Whoa,
I'm like, what is this? You know?
Nope.
Man.
I mean,
hey, Southern Miss basketball, $6 water bottles.
Oh my goodness. That's what did we have? The Superdome? Crazy. My gosh.
Yeah, fast food Aramark? Question? No.
Nathan, what's your fast food?
My favorite fast food, quality food wise. If I'm going to pick my favorite food from a fast food restaurant, got to go Popeyes. Service wise, it's probably in the bottom. Yeah. But food, if we're going food strictly, Popeyes.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Raising Cane's. Yes. And listen,
I'm not saying yes, it's gone Cane's, downhill,
but
bro.
I know that it's now downhill. That Chick-fil-A is not being selected.
So look here, at Cloverleaf Mall on Twitter, I see you. I see the slander you've been putting out there that Raising Cane's doesn't season their chicken just to make their sauce taste
good. We're
saving
that for the next rapid fire.
I'm going to hit it now because I feel strongly about it. Let me tell you.
Controversial.
There are plenty of people with comeback sauces and similar sauces. Fusackley's, that's one close to Mobile. Yeah. You got Topher's Zaxby's. Everybody's got a sauce like that. But, man, when you get a Raising Cane's chicken finger that's fresh and hot, those crinkle cut fries, that buttered toast, they're the reason my pants don't fit too right. So I got to go with Raising Cane's. Give me that box combo, no salt, extra toast, all day. I wish they would, but they do not sponsor us. They sponsor my belly, though.
And the sweet tea. The sweet tea is really good.
So sweet.
Lemonade. They do have an underrated lemonade.
I'm going to go Steak and Shake.
I've never been.
Does that count?
Yeah, it's
fast food. We have one here.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the upper echelon of fast food.
It's cheap. It is.
$7.80
for a burger, fries, and a drink.
That's as much as McDonald's.
It sucked the first year they had it. So much better. Now it's very good.
And their shakes are insane.
Oh, they have the best shakes. Best shakes.
It's like, go there instead of Cookout.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Cookout.
It's never busy.
It's a more expensive Cookout.
But I just can't read the menu. I can't read the menu at Cookout. Yeah, that's the only reason I don't like it.
And every time you go to Cookout, it's like, it's like, yeah, I'll take the burger.
Sorry, headphone users.
It's only good. Well, I'm not going to say that, but I feel like only drunk people can understand Cookout.
I'm not going to say it. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm
just saying, like,
great.
In general.
Waffle House is
Waffle House wouldn't be fast food, but if I guess, like, if it was, you know, we're talking about drive through places, Waffle House would be the top.
It's in the inebriated category. I don't know. I've always seen Steak and Shake as kind of a sit down place.
No, it's fast food.
I usually have to go on Steak and Shake.
Yeah, it's
all
so
day.
Good. Yeah. All right. Well, that is our fast food restaurant selections. By the way, Austin's a Subway. So
yes,
shame.
Whopper, double.
And he gets a cold cut. He gets a cold cut.
He doesn't toast it.
Yeah.
Austin is Subway's biggest fan ever.
You know the guy that made the Whopper jingle got a percentage of the Burger King company. You got stake in the company.
That dude's
Burger
Richard
King
Jeff
owns
Bezos
Popeyes
right
now, so yeah.
Popeyes quality of food, gotta go Popeyes.
I've never even eaten there, and I've never eaten a Taco Bell either.
You've never ate Popeyes?
Settle down, Eggman.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, we're ending this.
We this before I get killed. Okay. All right, so we're heading right to the basketball game here in about an hour, facing Arkansas State. So that was rapid fire. Thanks so much for listening. Once again, I am the winner of Prince Pick'em. So we are doing this in face of Prince Pick'em.
I was so ready to say that.
This has been fun. We're hoping to do this every week. So for Jackson Howell, for Nathan Lee, for Charlie Luttrell, I'm Diva Mixon, and that was the 4th Street Sports Show.
Ka-ka!
3, 2, 1. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next Monday at 5.